Hello and welcome to Watching It, episode 122B. That's right, we're doing a second episode this week because we had the release of Andor.
Yeah.
And they, of course, they did three episodes because no one does single episode releases anymore.
So let's talk about that right off the bat.
All right.
Three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Could have done all this story in one. It was a very slow show starting out.
It's slow paced for sure. Compared to, I had seen some reviews even before I watched it, not spoiler reviews, and that's when they said that it's definitely slower paced.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's a lot of characters setting up and stuff, but then there's also a lot of characters that are not going to be relevant.
Yeah.
Later on.
There's also this thing, and I mean, it seems to be that with all Star Wars shows, is just so much, and I'm assuming, like I said, that the story's going to play out and there's going to be a point to it, but so much flashback. Just so much flashback.
Yeah.
All Star Wars shows.
I mean, the flashback is important to the story.
Yeah. I know. I feel like all Star Wars shows are built on the main character having flashbacks. I mean, we've had it with Obi-Wan. We had a bunch of flashbacks in Obi-Wan. Yeah. Had a bunch of flashbacks in Boba Fett. There's a bunch of flashbacks in Mandalorian. It's like, that's the core thing to a Star Wars show. It's like, we're going to have some flashbacks. We're going to have some build up of the character's past, which, I mean, you got to, but yeah, I don't know. There's got to be other ways to do it.
So a lot of the flashback, which I guess we'll try and do it chronologically, maybe, is okay. Like he is some sort of tribal, like technologically advanced child on the planet Canary.
Well, I'm wondering if that's what's going on, or because I mean that the flashbacks also no one speaks English; they speak their native tongue.
Yeah, which there were not enough subtitles for.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, like, there are a bunch of kids that got stranded. Because it's very weird that there's no adults. Like, if this was just, like, his native land where they're not.
Well, there was a big mining operation on the planet.
Exactly.
There was some disaster.
Yep.
And the planet is, like, blockaded. Like, no one's supposed to go there.
Yeah, no one's supposed to go there.
But, yeah, you have all these kids who are living there, and they seem to not have any technology whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And a ship crashes onto the planet.
Yep.
They go and investigate. There's a little bit of a firefight with the remaining crew, but they take them out with a blow dart guns.
Lose their leader, though.
Yeah, lose their leader. Yeah. And then he goes to attack the ship, because I guess he just doesn't understand what's going on, and he just sees his reflection.
The frustration, maybe also. Just, you know.
But then there's some scavengers that are there that find him, and then they straight kidnap this kid.
Yep.
But I don't understand, like... Later on, the mom, the quote mom character, that's not really his mom.
Yeah. That was weird because, they made it very clear, you know, when he's living with the kids on the planet like that, there's no parents around.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later, one of the guys was like, your mom. And I was like, his mom.
But,
like I said, we learn, you know, the mom character.
Well, we find out that they've been hiding that they're Canary or that he's Canary.
That he's Canary.
And, like, she's like, everyone I've ever told is dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? I mean, I guess they're going to develop on it, but I'm like, what is this mystery here? Like, why is Canary, like, such a weird... Everyone's like, people haven't heard of it or, like, you know, like, it just seems very much, like, mythic in some ways.
Yeah.
But it's really just a jungle planet that had one mine on it.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, maybe whatever disaster happened there, maybe it's going to be like something that the Empire did so they don't want it known or something. Yeah. One thing I was going to... So before we actually dive in more into this, I was going to say, because like I said, this is Cassian Andor. He is the co-lead in the movie Rogue One.
Yep.
Which, I mean, at least for me, I enjoyed Rogue One.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, that was pretty
good. I think it's highly rated.
Yeah.
As far as Star Wars movies go.
I mean, when it comes to Star Wars, the fan base is always split. Because there's a good amount of fan base that doesn't like it. But I've always thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I was very skeptical of the movie before it came out. Because I always said, how are you going to make a movie where we know everyone dies and make us care about those characters? And I think they actually did succeed at that. But the thing is,
one of the best droids that's ever been in Star Wars.
And then it killed it. But anyways, but I always also said, like, at the end of that movie, I never thought, I want to know more about these characters. So when they first announced the Andor show, I was very much like, why though?
Yeah.
Like why? From at least what I've seen in these first three episodes, like, and I kind of like it, it's like, this is definitely a darker kind of grittier side of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. I like that. And then also, at least from these new episodes, I'm invested. I like what I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's definitely been slow.
It's good TV.
I'm definitely starting to wonder. One thing that was pitched before was like, you know, we need more Star Wars with less Jedis.
Yeah.
Like that. And I used to be against that argument. But now, like, after the success of Mandalorian. Oh, I'm 100%
behind
it. Yeah, and then seeing this, I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's been too much focus on the Jedi. Like, yeah, we need to see a lot more stories. Because, like I said, I feel this is so far, it felt very good. I like the, like I said, that more kind of darker, edgier take. And just, I mean, it's still very Disney, of course, but like they even have like just, I mean, the freaking Point Blank murder going on and that sort
sex
of stuff.
Club.
Sex, yeah, he goes to a sex club, you know, and just, yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely.
Definitely Obi-Wan nice. And this were of the darker variety mm-hmm, than even mm-hmm. the Mandalorian, yeah, for sure.
100%. Boba Fett should have been, but
yeah, Boba Fett, which is a disaster. Anyway, back to Andor. So, so he's looking for, I assume, his sister. He's looking for a Qunari girl.
He's looking for a Qunari girl.
Based on the flashbacks, I assume it's his sister that he's looking for. And he goes to a sex club that she may most likely had been working at.
Yeah.
And as he's leaving, he gets some security guards that try and shake him down.
Which I just gotta ask, honestly, like from watching those scenes, like I get for sure, I'm just like, and there are just people who are just assholes. But I'm like, why are these guards uprooting their whole night to bug a dude who looked at them weird twice? Like you went to the club.
Because they're basically the police of the town.
I know, but I'm just saying, as the police of the town, they were there to, you know, see some ladies.
Yeah.
And that was what they were there for the night. A guy comes in, and yes, he gets served before them, and he looks at them weird once or twice, and they decide, you know what? Screw it. Don't need no chicks tonight. Let's go bug random dude. I'm just like, why? Why are you uprooting your
Bullies.
Whole night? I guess. But yeah, so he gets accosted by these two cops, I say with fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, with quotation marks. And basically goads him into him being able to take him out. And I got to say, guard who's going through his pockets, I mean, I guess maybe he also hit his head, and that's why I did. But I'm like, he got a weak chin, man. Because that, like, a backwards headbutt, you can't even get that. I mean, you get some force, but not enough force to kill a man. But yeah, he does knock the guy out, and he apparently hits his head and dies. And then his partner, this is when I was like, oh, this is not your grandpa's Star Wars right here.
Yeah.
Is just straight up the guy he's begging for his life, and Andor just point blank just blasts him away. And I was like,
well, I mean, it kind of is. This is like a Han Solo character.
Yeah.
This is kind of your.
Yeah.
This is not your childhood. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Your younger brother's Star Wars.
Yeah. Because
there would have been the cute prequels.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of like your hard, like,
Episode
4 kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
And so, yeah, and then, so he kills that, makes a run for it. And then we get to meet the latest droid to be sold as toys.
Oh, already out there. Pop toys are the pop toy for it is already up to like $150. Like, so this is B2EMO.
Yep. B for short, and that's what we're going to call him going
forward. I call
him
BMO, but I guess you get in trouble with Adventure Time.
Yeah. You gotta be careful there. Also, so Cassian is his name, and it's spelled with a C, but one of the title of this the first episode, and then also if you watch with subtitles, that everyone calls him Cassa for short.
Yeah,
but it's spelled with a K.
Yeah,
and I was like, why?
Well, so it seemed like his real name is Cassa,
because
that's what his sister called
that's
him.
That's what his sister.
And
called
then maybe
him,
he called himself Cassian when he you know went and changed his name and forged birth certificate and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe. I know I've said this many times, but the droids in Star Wars have too much personality. Like, the fact that this droid was, like, looking for him, and then they have this conversation, and the droid's like, well, I gotta go home now. And I'm just like, what is this droid has its own... I mean, it did turn out, at first...
He's got his own little life.
It did turn out that the home he was going to was his mom's home, or whatever. Yeah. But still, at first, I was like, so this droid is just visiting with his own volition and lives somewhere else?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the hell is going on?
Why does it take more power to lie?
I have no idea.
It seems like you wouldn't need more additional energy.
I don't know.
And they made it almost seem like that was a rare resource that he could recharge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was going to be difficult.
Yeah.
He was like, you want me to use my precious energy on...
My precious energy for lying?
Yeah.
I can't do this. But yeah, so then we basically get to see that... Cassian is kind of all up into some shady business.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, there we are. But then we're kind of introduced to our antagonist, Well, first, before
we get to that, I want to talk about it. I did think it was really awesome that he started going around town and talking to people and like being like, hey, in case anybody asks anything about me,
yeah,
we were out drinking last night. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I have the scar on my face. Like,
yeah,
you know, and with the robot too, like having him telling him to tell some lies. But yeah, these bumbling security guards.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm really excited to see Alex Ferns in some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he played the head miner guy in the Chernobyl series.
Yep.
And he was also in something else that we watched, but I can't remember what it was. And anyway, I just a fantastic actor that I love to see getting work.
Yep, yep. But I mean, I wouldn't exactly say bumbling. That's what I wrote down. Is like, this dude is, and then I kind of recanted it, walked it back, because I was just like, you know, maybe he's not so much this. At first, I thought he was just a butt kisser, but you know, he's just like all about his protocol.
He takes it seriously.
But yeah, a little bit later, he's like, maybe he's not a butt kisser. Maybe he's really this dedicated. But like, this dude is not gonna let this go. Like his commanding officer is like, we're just gonna say it was an accident, and that's that.
Basically just cover it up,
and he's like, nope, he goes rogue right off the bat, and then starts getting, I mean, he seems to be the second in command, and it seems like the main dude's gone, and so he's just, like, taking the full control of the squad, and being like,
he's gonna get his ass chewed out.
Yeah,
when he is back. Causing some problems.
He is causing major problems.
But you can tell that, like, everyone else, aside from the Alex character, whose real name is Sergeant Kostek.
Sergeant Kostek Roast.
Yeah.
Because I wrote down his last name, and then I was like, later on, they were like, Kostek. And I was like, who the fuck is that?
No one gives a shit.
But that sergeant.
Everyone's just there collecting a paycheck.
Yeah. Except for that sergeant. He's dead and set, too.
Yep.
I find it convenient that these two guys just happen to get synced up.
Yeah.
Two most dedicated guys in the force. But yeah, so then in the next episode, basically, we're just continuing on. And we're seeing that he's basically trying to get his affairs in order because he knows that he screwed up by killing those two officers.
Yeah.
And I'm really wondering,
like, this is not the first time he's killed.
Yeah, I don't think it's the first time that he's killed, but probably killed people that matter, in a sense. And my other thing is also, I'm really wondering, like, how, like, he seemed shocked, and then he had to kill the other guard, but he seemed shocked by them being dead. So I'm like, how did it play out if he didn't kill them? Like, he just knocked the guy out, like, because they would still have his face, but maybe they wouldn't report him because they don't want the embarrassment or something. Like, I'm just wondering if, like, things would have been differently where things don't spiral out of control as they are now if he hadn't killed them. But
yeah. I mean, somebody was gonna kill him because he had been, like, borrowing money all over town and not paying back his debts and stuff like that. So most of this episode takes place on the planet Ferrix, which is, basically like an entire, like, planet dedicated to dismantling starships and other stuff and, you know, reselling parts and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's one thing that also about this series that is interesting, and I'm wondering how this is going to all string together, because if I remember it, that thing is, like I said, I did like Rogue One, but also I haven't seen it in years. It's been 8 years since it came out. I had to look that up. But what I remember from Rogue One is that Cassian wasn't on board with being a rebel and the whole thing right out there.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, like, this show can't have him be like starting the revolution or rebellion, because by the time we get to the movie, he's not all about that. Like, he has to be talked into it. So I'm like, I'm just wondering is this story really going to be, which I'd be fine with, but, you know, Star Wars always seems like everything has to be connected. But is this story really just going to be the story of what Cassian was doing before he got released to the rebellion?
Well, we know that Mon Mothma is going to be in it.
Yes.
So that's like, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe they're going to like tweak with the, you know, retcon it a little bit or something. Who knows?
But we get, we get introduced to the Snitch character, is what I'm going to call him, but who's dating Brix, which we forgot to bring up in the first episode.
Yeah, so that's Basso.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no.
Brasso.
There's Brasso, and then there's They look, that's the thing is, it took me a while to realize they look the same, but they're two different characters. The same people? No. Brasso is his friend who's covering for him. Tim, which once again, yes, the Tim. Most generic name yeah, in Star Wars. I guess they thought if they add another M, it doesn't make it generic. But Tim is Bix's boyfriend, who also, I'm pretty sure the main reason he rats him out is, and I'm just like, earlier when Tim like sees them talking in the garage, Cassian asks Brix, is like, does he know anything? He's like, no, I haven't told him anything. And I'm like, you know what? I think this is one of those scenarios where if you had told him, that things might have worked out, because I'm pretty sure Tim thinks that Brix and Cassian have some sort of relationship.
Brix.
Yeah.
That's no Kitakit Keekak. there's a pool. There's a pool. Do you know who Kitakit Keekak is?
No.
He is the praying mantis in the bar in episode 4.
Really?
Yep. Kitakit Keekak.
Nice.
I had that card from the Star Wars card game back in the day.
But yeah, I think if Tim knew that they were just like partners in crime, I think he would. I think he's just more of report at Cassian because he thought, you know, he's cheating with my girl and stuff. And I'm like, this is
that's totally what it looked like. Yeah,
this is one of those times you should just tell him, like, no, we're not in a relationship. We're just robbing people together or doing shady stuff together. But yeah, Tim basically kind of following him around and getting, you know, and then he sees the sees that Cassian has won it as the or won it for the killing, and so he calls it in. And yeah, so that's when we get introduced to the other person in the force, the only other person in the force who is also dedicated, Sergeant Roast and
Kostik.
Yep. And my thing though is, I was just like, I just love, he's just like so dedicated. He's like, I think the men would feel honored if a higher up came with us. And I'm just and then you see all the guys in the ship and they're like, we could care less.
Tries to have him give a speech. Like, he's never had to give a speech to troops before.
I mean,
like, he just completely fails at it.
It could be one of the things, because I mean, you hear about this in real life, is like, you can go, like going to college, like you can go to officer academy when you're, you know, get into the military instead of just enlisting. And if you do, you instantly get, you know, boosted up the ranks. So you become an officer without having to do all the work.
True.
And so I could easily see that, you know, the lieutenant deputy, deputy inspector, sorry.
Yeah.
Deputy inspector is one of those guys that he went to officer academy, got up there, and he never had to, you know, work out with the grunts and learn how to be a part of the, you know, the unit and all that stuff. So yeah. I imagine that's how he got there.
We also get introduced to Lutheran Real, played by Skarsgård.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was in it. And also, it took me way too long to put together that Lutheran Real was the contact that was coming to buy the NS9 Starpath unit. Which, by the way, when they finally tell us what the NS9 unit is, I'm like, that's worth way more than this, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're the Rebels, you get to track, like, everything from nine quadrants. I'm like, yeah, that's...
That is a insanely valuable thing.
Because a under the radar 1 hour notice starship ride, 600 credits.
Yeah.
This thing worth 700 credits.
700 credits.
This thing's worth 40,000.
Yeah.
Like, oof.
Yeah.
That's an expensive piece of tech.
Yeah, I just put it out. I was like, Cassian is literally like burning bridges everywhere he goes.
Because he's out. He's leaving.
I mean, yeah, he's out.
He ain't never coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, why wouldn't he sell this before if he can get this much for it?
That's what just sell it weird. And get the like, because like he talks with Brix about it. About, you know, basically like how he had, and she's like, you've been sitting on this. And I'm just like, yeah, if you're, especially if you know, if you're trying to find somebody, money really helps grease palms and get answers. So I'm like, why would you sit on this piece? I mean, I guess maybe you can't, it might not be the easiest piece to move, because like you said, it is extremely valuable. It's also something very much illegal to have. And so maybe the right buyer. But yeah, I found it weird too that he had this technology.
Well, he knew that his like best friend lady had a contact that could move that kind of tech.
But speaking of his contact, when he's coming in, I just was like, even in a galaxy far, far away, and a long time ago, far, far away, there's still that old guy on the bus who just doesn't get you don't want to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really weird. I don't understand. I guess they were just trying to give us some backstory about the planet and stuff, but I didn't really like it.
Yeah. But anyway, so basically the Roost and the deputy inspector rally the troops. They're basically coming to get them off the word of Tim. And then kind of just, that's when we move into episode 3, which I'd say this is where things like kick off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very much set up, but like, you know, it had some exciting moments in it.
Yeah.
First thing I want to say about it is, it's like, what is my purpose? You are stairs. Oh my God. Droid stairs. There's a little droid that's built into stairs that like rolls up on the ship. Yeah. So that way people can walk off. I'm like, that's so stupid. You just have stairs there statically.
Just, some
They're like buses.
Yeah.
They come and go all the time.
Just have the stairs there. Not everything has to be a robot, you know? You just have remote control stairs or anything. It doesn't have to be automated.
It's so weird to me because it's like, okay, we have a droid that's upset of stairs, but then we just got a dude that has to ring the bell with his iron hammers. You can't automate that or get a droid to ring the bell.
I put, though, that dude who rings the bells.
He was serious about his job.
Oh, yeah. He is all about that. Like, I bet you actually someone pitched, like, hey, we realize we're probably just going to replace you with a droid. He's like, no! It's like, this is what I do.
Yeah. I'll do it for free.
Yeah. It's like, he gets in his pose right before and he's
waiting for the time to come. And then he's got like the beats down and everything.
I mean, this dude, he is the most dedicated man in the Star Wars universe.
I thought he was going to get up there and start like banging on it when everyone was like banging on their pans and bars and all sorts of stuff like later on.
Yeah.
That was an awesome scene.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything's really tense and they're like gathering up to like the moment and you just hear like the rattling of all this metal and like the mom characters just kind of like, you know, talking to the guys and be like, the big problem's when it stops. And then it stopped and everything's just dead silent. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So good.
It was, that was really cool. Yeah. So, we get to Andor meeting up with Luthen.
Yep.
And basically, Luthen is fully aware of who Andor is.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And kind of wants him to do the whole rebel thing.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't come right out and say it. He just says, I'm looking for good people.
Yeah.
You know, he's there to buy the tech. I'm like, what is this building? Like, obviously unsafe, but it turned very Rube's Goldberg towards, like, because they get attacked, they get surrounded.
Right,
But I did like, you know, the character, he had a sword, and then he puts it away and we never see it again. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't see him bust out that sword and do some sword shit. I just didn't understand this whole, like, oh, we've got these falling engine parts all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, give up on that box. Also, why would you set it down and walk away from it?
Yeah.
Like
no, that doesn't make it.
That's a year's salary,
I
man. Say,
I have a lot of questions about some choices that were made during this. But yeah, so during the firefight, basically, I mean, they're pinned in until they kind of, they get out there. And then they actually get the drop I just have him down as deputy. Do you know what the guy's name and deputy inspector's name is? I can't remember what his name is. But yeah,
it's probably important because he's going to be in a lot of, because Alex Ferns, because I wanted to see like what his name was and all that stuff. He's going to be in like 7 episodes. Mm. So it's like, these guys are not going away. They're going to be chasing him all over the place.
Like, and are these, that's one thing I was kind of wondering. They never really established. I mean, I think they are, but then also it's like, then why aren't they? I mean,
well, they're not like Imperial; they're local security.
Are they related to the Empire though? Do they report up the chain to him? Because I'm just like,
yes, because that's where the guy was going. He was going to report, to the Empire.
So, I'm wondering. So, where what's the name of the planet they're on right now?
Fennix.
Fennix. I'm wondering if Fennix is part of the Empire that's like on the outlier, because Rogue One is taking place in between, or this is before Rogue One even, but it's taking place in between the two trilogies. So after the Clone Wars, and the Empire is taken over, and the betray the Jedi's and all that stuff. So, but I'm wondering if this is still when the Empire is really establishing its hold over the galaxy.
Possibly.
And so that maybe that's why. Because I'm just like, yeah, why is it just this security unit? Why we got no stormtroopers, you know, running around and that sort of stuff? But maybe that where this planet is more on the outlier where it's like, okay, they rule here, but they haven't you know.
Well, it's all part of the same system is the way I saw it.
Okay.
It's like the Milani system or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he gets the jump on him, which is one of those things of like, I mean, I guess you already killed two of them. Maybe not want to kill some more, but also like might solve some of your problems.
Yeah.
If you just take them out. But instead ends up fleeing the planet. And then that's kind of where we're left off.
Yeah.
To get into the next episode.
I think it was a strong start. I definitely think it was a little gratuitous in length. I think they could have... They could have cut out a lot of scenes and some characters you could have streamlined this mm-hmm. and still got all the relevant information and still had some additions in that. Like, we did not need the scene where Skarsgård's getting talked to on the thing. Yeah. I don't think we even needed the Tim character, honestly. We didn't need... Yeah, there's a lot.
There was a lot of extra, but yeah. Oh, I mean, my overall, though... this is feeling like, you know, it's kind of interesting, because I was reading this article that was talking about, like, Disney has a Star Wars problem, and it's that they can't make good movies, and their shows are still good, which, you know, Baron Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I agree with that statement, and I kind of feel like this is definitely lining up to be pretty good. Like, even though, like I said, it's one of those things of, like, before it came out, I was like, I just don't see why we need a show about Andor.
Yeah,
And I still don't see what we need to show about Andor, but I like what they're doing with this so far. And
what would you like to see a show on that you haven't? I would like to see maybe like an anthology mm-hmm. of the bounty hunters.
See, I was about to say, as I would like a bounty, like not just a Boba Fett, but I would like a bounty hunter show.
Yeah, like I want to see like IG-88 and the Dagan. Like basically. Like, yeah. Dagan is like, his story is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because they all have, everybody in Star Wars has a book about
them.
They
all have backstories.
Even like some random guy at a bar. He's like, he's got mm-hmm. a whole story. Like,
I've always liked, I mean, that's the thing is I've always, and I mean, like I said, Boba Fett was always like the face of the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
And stuff. But as a whole, I've always liked bounty hunters in the Star Wars universe. Yeah. I always felt like
we need a Cad Bane series, man. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And I just feel like they just didn't use the extended universe likes to use them a ton. Like there's so many good books in the extended universe. But the movies themselves, as it's like you introduce these cool side characters, you know, and then they just never used them enough. And like I said, we got the Boba Fett series. Maybe we're wishing we hadn't. But we had the Boba Fett series. But I just feel like, there's a lot more to do that we could do with there. And I think there is a lot more. And I think hopefully this is what they're doing. Not that we shouldn't still have Jedis, because Jedis are cool. But at the end of the day, it's like, I think there's a lot more story to tell without Jedis. And also,
Give me a Bill Burr prequel series of his character.
When he's with his crew. And that would be interesting. And then the other thing is going forward, because like I said, everything they've made of late and, I mean, of coming up, because they have Ahsoka coming.
I'm skeptical about Ahsoka because I just don't know if they're going to be able to do the acrobatics.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting. But they have Ahsoka coming up, and then they canceled, it was a movie, but they canceled the Rogue Squadron movie, which I think, it's indefinitely on hiatus, but you know, we'll see what happens. But still, all this stuff, even Rogue Squadron, I mean, Rogue Squadron would have been nice, because
that was my favorite Starfighter game.
Yeah, and it's definitely it'd be basically a dogfighting Star Wars movie. That sounds awesome. Still, all that stuff is all stuff that's in the original, I guess, three trilogy timeline. Yeah. So they haven't yet touched with making anything new.
Or anything before that.
Yeah, or before that. And I think when they get to that, I think they really should focus on telling some stories that are not Jedi centric.
Yeah,
I think they really should. I want those two
TIE fighter cops. I want that story. The ones from Mandalorian.
Yes. Yes. I mean, yeah, why can't they? Because, I mean, the MCU is definitely more lighthearted than Star Wars as a whole.
Yeah.
Even though it does deal with serious stuff. But still, I think, like, if we could get some, like, lighthearted Star Wars, like, yeah, yeah. About those two TIE fighter cops, it's like their misadventures. Like,
yeah.
Why can't we? Let's have a little fun. Everything in Star Wars doesn't have to be serious and stuff. So, yeah. Yeah. I hope they need to really just start yeah. trying some new things.
But, yeah, looking forward to seeing where they take this story. And, of yeah. course, it's visually amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Scar. Skarsgård's going to act the shit out of it, you
yeah.
know. So,
yeah.
As always, you can find us on our website, watchingitpod.com. There you can find links to our Twitter, to our Instagram, and to email us, watchingitpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the main 122 episode. And Donnell, what else should they do?
Yeah, well, go ahead and give us any likes and reviews. Send us any emails if you have any of your own thoughts on what we've discussed. Check out Meet Cute. We're going to keep pushing
yes,
that.
Yes, Meet Cute. So good.
It's a fantastic movie. And maybe if you check it out, head over to IMDb and try to boost that rating up some. You know, help it out. And then, yeah, thank you so much for listening. Bye.